everyone, and welcome to a very special episode. Every episode is special, but episode 20 is very, very special to me because we are doing...
Because it's number 20, right?
It is 20. We can almost go to a bar and drink if we wanted to. But we can get into a strip club without being ID'd. However, we are doing... Oh, I'm Tyler Baker. Nathan Kennedy is here.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to say the hell with all the formalities here. I just want everyone to know we are finally, after all this time, doing our first, what I would assume, like with all these others, the first of many Thundercat commentaries. God, I never thought this day would come, man, just to be able to sit down and do live commentary for next to He-Man is my favorite animated series of all time, dude. So I'm
really
I'm very, very stoked and glad. Yeah, and glad Nathan recommended this for today's episode. That's what made it all the more exciting.
I had to get the inspiration to go and dig these out from the storage closet that I have over here, because when I moved from my place to move in with Emily, my He-Man discs, Thundercats discs, all of those, even the Batman box set, most of my box sets that I had them on a certain shelf in my bedroom at my old place, and then we moved here and just didn't really have the space to bring those out. So they've sat dormant in there in hiding for a while, but I got them out. It was time. I had to. Otherwise, Tyler was going to give me more shit about it, because I kind of haven't stopped hearing about it since I told him that they've just been in storage this entire time.
Yeah, give the old news that Nate got out. Some he may not even watch just yet. But to know that He-Man and Thundercats were boxed up away from the rest of his collection was just a crime in itself. I mean, there's no jury on earth that would have convicted Nathan of innocent on this planet. You know, with that kind of crime, I'd have made sure I threw the book at him for that kind of. And he'd serve, you know, 20 years in a federal pound me in the ass prison. You know, for this kind of crime.
Kenny's butthole was in constant jeopardy.
Constant jeopardy. Like revisiting this show for the first time for yourself, and God knows how long, does it, before we dig into it, you know, does it hold up? Are you one of those guys who's just here for the fireworks? Do you think it's still holds merit? Is it pros and cons to it before we get into it?
Or? No, I think that it holds up wonderfully. The animation, I would go out on a limb and say is probably the best out of all of the popular tunes of that era. Obviously, you know, Japanese inspired.
Yeah.
As you go through the credits, I've always kind of been curious, because Tyler, you're not a huge fan of the anime. So
no.
When you sort of see that style, do you think any differently of it, or is that the first thing that's coming to your mind? It's like, like that. Do you wish that maybe the animation style had been more like Filmation, any of that stuff? Like,
no, Filmation would get better and better through the years, but I what this is the kind of anime style that I can get along with, because it's not overboard anime, you know, with the lines of emotion coming out of their head and their mouths move just in a constant circle with not actually drawing. I can't stand that. It just seems so odd and off. And I know anime has got a tremendous juggernaut fan following all over the world. I've watched anime cartoons as a kid, various ones. I just, looking back, I'm like, even as a kid, I thought some of it was kind of off, some of them I did enjoy. But I felt like if I'm going to watch anime, it needs to be this, where it's a mix of East meets West, that it's got the inspiration of anime, but it's not full on crazy over the top, just, you know, too much, you know, overkill style. Some people like that, and I think it's great, and I get it. I get why people like anime. I'm not oblivious to that, but I felt like this is about as much as I can take, and it's done absolute perfection.
Well, I was going to say that I think early on, I mean, we're talking like 80s and stuff. Obviously, as you get into the 90s, I think that's when more of it started to veer off towards the exaggeration, and the emotion in the faces became just like you were talking about. Yeah, I wish there would kind of be a better blend of that now. It seems like now they've just mostly taken that style and just ran with it. But
I mean, there's some like the Street Fighter movie. I do enjoy it. The animation looks great, you know. But what kind of kills it for me is the voice, American voice acting. It throws me off when it doesn't blend well when they're trying to dub over. Like I've always been bothered by that. When I watched the first Godzilla as a kid, aside from the fact it bored the hell out of me as a child, I hate the dubbing. It's like, God, it's driving me nuts.
Yeah,
You know, I need to
mean,
have dialogue synced up. I can't focus. I mean, I'm better about it now, but as a child, it's just like I can't do this.
so basically, what you're saying is you're a sub man. You like original language tracks. You would rather watch it in Japanese than you would dubbed over in most cases.
Probably so. Like, what? Even when I watched Power Rangers as a kid, I was always like taken aback when you've seen all the Rita segments because as you know
Yeah,
back then
same
we
here.
didn't know it was yeah. And I used to bug the shit out of me like, God, Rita and everybody talks. They're just
Well,
doing this, and I'm like,
it was also the same way whenever I would catch a Sergio Leone movie, one of the westerns, and
oh
yeah, and even like Clint Eastwood is sort of like slightly off, and I'm just like, what's going on? I didn't understand any of that as a kid, so it's kind of funny. I don't know.
yeah. And I think you have to be a little bit older to appreciate why it's the way that it is, and you know, I'm sure maybe there are some kids like, you know, back in my day, I had no problem with it. Well, more power to you. Yeah, but for me, it was, you know, I can still watch the Koala Show, and I think the Noozles. I think it was like two alien koalas coming to live with this family. I remember watching
I
that.
barely remember that.
Yeah, and there was Grimm's Fairy Tales that was anime, but it was all like, you know, the Grimm fairy tales done in like anime style. But they look like, I mean, that was a fun show to watch too. So I enjoyed some of it as a kid, but in terms of like action and stuff, I never quite got into it. I couldn't get into Dragon Ball Z. I tried, just could not do it. My brother, that's another story. He was a junkie for it. But Thundercats to me, that's about as close to anime as I'll ever get because it looks. If someone comes along and says they felt the Thundercats was the best of everything from the music, the animation style, stories, characters, I'd never argue that because it's right there next to He-Man. I mean, He-Man's always gonna be number one, but Thundercats to me, I would never argue that because it's a show that gets shit on by some people who just want to, you know, be those idiots who, you know, like to do
Well,
podcasts, YouTube videos, and
why does it get shit on?
they
What are the
say the
gripes?
stories just aren't that good, which I almost felt like, are you watching this stuff? Or are you just one of those assholes who likes to look? I think of the guy from those retro blasting videos where he does these great toy videos, but then when he's time to talk about the cartoons, he shits all of them for the most part. And he, you know, craps on Thundercats, and he's admitted he got a lot of hack or flack for trashing the Thundercats cartoon and some others as well, like Silver Hawks and other stuff. You know, and I just kind of feel like, are you watching this stuff or do you just not like it at all or what? But because a lot of people try to make a name for themselves by shitting on all the classic 80s cartoons and just saying, oh, it sucks, but I'm a big fan of it, you know, and I have no tolerance for that. And Thundercats, I take very personally. Same thing with He-Man and She-Ra,
Oh,
G.I. Joe.
I know you do. I remember when you got shit for wearing your Thundercat shirt in school, and you were just like, you're ready to
I
beat.
was ready to, yeah, I was. All I could think of was like that Sub-Zero fatality, Mortal Kombat 3 of like holding him over my head, freezing him, and just breaking him in half. You know, I was so furious with these two guys. One's this little redneck. I mean, that's the thing back then. It's like you can't do anything about it because I wasn't good with words. And if I beat the shit out of him, I get sent home and I get backed up on homework and then I'm stressed
I
out all day.
always like how that was your thing. You're like, man, if I get suspended, I can get backed up on homework. It's like, no, if you wanted to, they could send you the schoolwork and you could probably do it and turn it in somehow. I'm gonna say real quick, what's up to Andre? Thanks for popping in and
Oh yeah,
joining
thanks
us
for
live.
joining us there. But yeah, I did get shit for wearing the classic. It was like on the Thundercats Exodus VHS of like the beautiful painting roster shot of all the Thundercats with Lionel in the center holding the sword up. I got shit from these two morons sitting at my table because they both said they didn't know what Thundercats were, even though we're all the same age, you know.
Well, I whatever.
So I never wore it to school again after that, just because, you know, I didn't feel like hearing shit. And then one of the popular kids was wearing a Thundercat shirt. I'm like, son of a bitch, man.
Stole your thunder. Like, no one's...
Yeah, he did steal my thunder. Not that he was a bad guy or anything like that, but still, it just made me mad.
Right.
But you know, I was wearing the Panther old school shirt to school. I was scared to death of wearing it, thinking like, that guy's wearing a Thundercat shirt. Get him, you know, or something like that.
Oh, I remember those days. You were very super super worried about it. But I also remember too one of those first times we started hanging out, and you went with me and my parents down to that mall. And we went into a Hot Topic for the first time. Yeah. And that was back when that store was mostly about, maybe it's still, I don't know. The shirts were awesome. Those ringer tees that just had simple stuff on it. Like, here's Silver Surfer. Here's Venom.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like, you know, got issues or, man, anger problems with a picture of Venom on there smiling or some lazy shit like that. God. I hate it when some moron thinks they try to put off their wit and their humor that's oh so clever and slap it on an image that doesn't need your bullshit attached to it.
You know, I feel like that's just a room. I think that's just a room of old dudes. It's like, yeah, that'd be cool.
Or guys that just...
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
It's all I want in my t-shirt. Just a simple design. It doesn't have to say anything on it. I think the picture speaks for itself. Doesn't have to say it dumb did. Shit.
That was what was so great about those old school shirts. You know, I had one of the Decepticon logo. It said old school under it. I had one of Storm Shadow, old school. You know, Thundercats, old school. Like, it didn't say anything else. Just the words old school written in a odd form. And that was it. It wasn't trying to say anything funny or clever or anything like that. And, you know, and Thundercats, too, was something that I was so addicted to, but didn't have many of the toys. I would watch the cartoons in the mornings and rent some of the tapes. I'd get put out, though, because not all the VHS tapes had two episodes. And I was so spoiled by the He-Man videos that all of them had two episodes on. Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Thundercats all had one episode on all their tapes. They had previews for other episodes. So I was like, I don't want to rent a tape for the whole weekend. I've only got one episode to watch. So I would only rent them a handful of times because of that mentality. But then I would catch them on TV a lot and see other kids at daycare that had the Thundercat toys and drive me nuts because I didn't have Lion-O or Tuska Warrior or the Snowman, stuff like that. So it's been a toy line that I hold very, very near and dear to my heart, and I take it very personal, man. You want to come out and slam Thundercat, you got a problem with me, dude.
Well, I do think I have a bit of a problem with the toys. I wish someone else had made them.
I love the LGN toys. Really? I think they're great.
I think they could have been better, honestly. Like, some of them just seem a little off.
Well, give me some examples. Like, well, what is it that you're not quite sold on?
Characters that
you're not sold on.
Let's go for the throat. I would say Lion-O, like, his figure just doesn't look that great, honestly. Like, that's why I'm glad that's why I'm happy Funko's putting those out, because those look fantastic. But I don't know, it's just something that was off about LJN figure, and it even goes to like the wrestlers. Most of those guys, sometime when they were still making the bigger rubber ones, just didn't look that good. Something about their style that I never took to.
I think some people may have had issues with them, I think, over the years, too. But I think the majority loved them and embraced them like me.
Well, I mean, because that's all you got. I'm just saying I wish they had... I feel like they could have... The molds on those could have been better, I think. They should have done something else.
But I mean, it always kind of threw me a bit, though, to find out that Lion-O and Mom-Rom were so much more bigger than the characters. Like they towered over Panthro, Chitara, Tigra, all the mutants. Groon was pretty tall, but you know, they were significantly a lot bigger than the rest of them. But to me, it was just I don't know how I would have reacted had I had owned a Lion-O as a kid, because I remember Justin Twine had Lion-O, and I remember seeing it at his house, and just I was like, oh, Justin. And awe to see that. and it would be years later before I'd ever own a Lion-O. So I thought they were stunning looking figures. I thought they looked great on the back of the card when you had the Thundercats and the evil mutants down below. They just look so great, vibrant looking, just beautiful figures. But I am super thankful to get the stuff that the Four Horsemen would give us and what Funko has done, you know, where they're the Four Horsemen Mattel stuff where they're fully articulated. They look like, you know, that's what we would have loved to have had as kids. And then the Funko stuff looks, you know, spot on, fantastic too. So I'm just glad to get more and more kick-ass Thundercat stuff as opposed to the 2010 stuff that was wasn't bad, but it left a lot to be desired in terms of excitement from a visual standpoint.
And also just a blink and you'll miss it. Like that just came and went real quick. Like really
it
quick.
Did. And it was exciting for a while to think, hey, Thundercats and G.I. Joe are both on the shelf at the same time here. So I was going to, you know, I'd finish my Coke route and go walk down the toy aisle down in Salem, look for Thundercats and G.I. Joe to buy. It was great.
I didn't buy any of those new ones. I think I watched the first episode of that new show and I was like, eh.
And what sucks too is you watch that WonderCon trailer when it came out and it was just built up to be so epic looking. And it's a discussion for another day, but I think they clearly didn't get it. And I think they were trying to reinvent the wheel with that story. And there were parts that I thought were okay, and other stuff were like, dude, you guys need to go back to the drawing board because this is shit. And it never did get any better after that. There was a couple of moments here and there when, like, the driller showed up and stuff, but I didn't like the voice acting for the show. I didn't like the stories. I don't know. I just felt like they just didn't quite grab. I know that some people really liked it, but I think I tried watching the first 5, 6, 7 episodes, and I think after that I bowed out. I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Like it wasn't leaving an impact on me. Just kind of like, eh. Whereas the original cartoon just to me got better with age. I thought like you loved it as a kid. Then you realize, man, there's some really damn good writing in the show. And you see these jerk offs who are just like, oh, I'm Mr. Farney Man. I'm going to poop on an 80s cartoon. People love me on YouTube. I'm going to get endorsements and advertisements because I shit all over your childhood memories, but I'm a big fan, you know.
Some people gotta sell out, make their name heard. I would rather
make fun of in this world. Make fun of crummy wrestling pay per views. Make fun of goofy athletes, you know, being divas and stuff like that. You would make fun of these iconic, you know, machismo action heroes that we had when we were kids. You know, it's like, who the hell are you?
I mean, it's not for everybody. It's like anything else.
But what bothers me is like. They're going after this. Like they feel like that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make fun of those cartoons that were so popular back then. I'm going to say how lame they are, and make fun of this and make fun of that. I'm like,
well,
why?
I to get that reaction out of you, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. You see some of the reactions, and you're like, oh man, yeah, I remember this show. It is pretty lame. Her. And I was talking to one of our listeners the other day on Facebook because he really likes our commentaries, and that we appreciate these cartoons. We're not here to, you know, to piss all over them and make fun of them. We're here to say, no, these are some kick-ass shows. You know, they're great. There's nothing to make fun of. And, you know, and you got cat and dipshits out there who are just trying to find, like, oh, this homoerotic picture of the Transformers. Oh, yeah, he's trying to do them up the ass. You know, just, I hate stuff like that. I don't like seeing these cartoons made fun of in such a way because I don't look at them like that. And for someone to come along and say that that's how they remember this stuff, you know, I feel like they should be beaten with a rusty shovel, you know.
Well, 30 years from now, we'll have a new generation that'll be on some other device doing a show talking about Thundercats Roar and how it was one of the best shows.
I'm starting to wonder if that will actually get released.
Who knows?
You know, I think that's the one thing. Of course, they haven't announced anything, nor would I expect Warner Brothers and Cartoon Network to make such an announcement, to sit there and say, well, we heard what you said, and we decided to give in to your demands. Like, I don't think they'll acknowledge it at all. It may just disappear and say, you know what, we're not going to try it. You know, because it does seem odd that nothing has been said concerning it.
Yeah. Like that trailer just showed up and then it got pulled and we haven't heard anything since then.
No. So,
yeah. So
I'd like to think that they realize, you know what, if we're going to do Thundercats, we can't go down that route. And if this is the template that Cartoon Network wants to do, where everything is a yuck fest, then fine, throw out whatever you want, but do not use Thundercats in that regard. So, you know, I don't think it'll get released. I'm hoping to God it won't.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. I hope it does, because I want to watch it.
No. Dude, after that shitty new Turtles cartoon that just came out, and you're like, God, it was awful. You want Thundercats to come out and meet the same fate along with She-Ra?
Yeah, because I don't know.
You're part of the problem.
I'm looking at it more of just a train wreck sort of way, a car crash. I'm the guy driving past it just like, oh, hey, what happened over there? Oh. Meanwhile, you're like the guy that just can't look at it.
I'm at the side just like, why? I'm just like stomping back and forth, and just screaming and yelling and saying it's their fault. That's why I wrecked it. You know, Cartoon Network and Warner Brothers is like, man, I don't know what he's talking about. I think the guy was on a cell phone taking a selfie of himself because he thinks he's all like big and stuff.
Oh, man.
He's one of those like man kids that lives in his mom's basement because he won't grow up because he's still like stuff from the 80s. You know?
Yeah, I kind of hate that stigma that they sort of give people all the time. It's like, oh, well, they're just in their parents' basement. And I'm just like, I'm sure in some cases that's true, but...
I mean, all stereotypes do kind of start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't offend me because I feel like, you know what, I just kind of feel like the way people decide, like, oh, you shouldn't judge this group of people or that group of people for this or that. And if you like comic books or cartoons or toys or whatever, you are labeled as a weirdo who wears shirts that are too small with your belly hanging out. You're socially awkward. You're living in your mom's basement. You don't pay any bills. And you're on the internet constantly venting your frustrations about this and that, thinking you're a big tough guy or something. Like that's the stigma that's attached to guys like us and people who listen to this, the people who are on other parts of the world who still like to revisit this stuff, as if like we're all a bunch of weirdos. Yeah. Every group has got weirdos in them. I don't care if you love football, you're going to have football fans that make, you know, rational football fans look bad. If you like basketball or NASCAR, whatever, there's fans out there that are going to immediately, you're giving them a bad name.
I think I'm just going to say this. I think NASCAR fans in general give themselves a bad name, but
they are. And just... I threw that out there because I'm trying to be somewhat, and I hate racing with a passion. I hate it.
Let's just keep turning left for 4 hours. All the power to those dudes that want to step into a car, go that fast, and like endure the heat for 4 hours
and cool. Not being able to stop and go to the bathroom.
Cool, but it's fucking boring. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. It's fucking boring.
Yeah, it is.
I understand the strategy behind it. It's like, oh, well, you need to pit this time, change your tires, and think about your fuel, but it's fucking boring. It whatever. Yeah. Let's move on past this and let's get ready to dive into this episode. We got a link down below. I sort of checked it out. It looks like it works okay, so enter that at your own risk. It might be, some of it might be in Spanish, some parts might be missing, so give that a shot. And I also want to say before we get going here, if you are new to the channel, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live, and join us in the chat for this show and for Beyond Retro that we do on Sundays at 2 p.m. I just want to go ahead and throw that out there. I'm going to start peppering that in at the beginning to kind of remind them.
Keep it fresh. Remind them. You know, we do two other podcasts. And come on, we want your support. We want to know that the word is spreading, that, you know, we have something fun to say, that I think a lot of people are not just, you know, a bunch of wannabes. Like, no, we feel like we can give you something that a lot of people are not providing, you know, that it's, you know.
It's hanging out with your buddies and watching cartoons.
And we can get specific. We don't just kind of gloss over stuff to make it sound like we know what we're talking about. Like, no, we want you to feel like...
I mean, sometimes I do. Not going to lie.
Well, you know, we know you're the bullshitter of the show here, and I'm the...
you're the brains. I'm the bullshit.
And then Joe's kind of a mix in between, where he just decides not to show up, and that way he can save face.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys get your bowl of cereal and your chocolate milk and pull up towards the TV, and Tyler, give us a countdown, and we'll get this going.
All right, guys, get ready to head to Third Earth with us here. 3, 2, 1, kick ass. Here we are.
I think this is the best theme, too, out of all these shows.
Yeah, it's really hard to beat. Plus, the opening itself, I mean, it gives He-Man a run for its money in terms of intensity and the excitement, the music, the imagery. It makes you want to go lift weights. And I do lift weights to the Thundercat theme because it is badass. It makes you want to run fast and just beat some ass. And, you know, watching each member of the Thundercats do what they do best here in this opening sequence, which is all right, kick ass in their own unique way.
So correct me if I am wrong on this, but James Lipton, he wrote this song, correct? From Inside the Actor Studio fame? I read something somewhere, or I heard it years ago, that he had a hand in creating this theme song.
I haven't heard his name attached to it because I've seen the guy who did the music, and it wasn't James Lipton. Maybe he had something to do with it.
I don't know.
Because, you know, maybe there's a relation to Len Lipton, who does the voice of Chitara on the show, and Mandar, yeah, the Evil Chaser.
Could be,
which I've never dug that deep into it, at least. And there's a good behind-the-scenes book that I have yet to get a hold of, which I'm ashamed that I don't own yet, of all the behind-the-scenes show. But I picked this show because there's so many great ones, you know, and I find this to be very special because as a kid, it would have bothered me a little bit more. And I did rent this a few times as a child, this episode. But it's interesting for a cartoon series like this that the protagonists don't meet the villain of the show. This is the 5th episode into the show. Lion-O meets him in episode 2, but doesn't know who or what he is. And then Mon-Ra does not actually face them face-to-face until this episode, 5 episodes in. Which is, I mean, great for world-building. And not just coming right out of the gate. Here's this. Here's this. Here's this. Here's that. It's pretty kick-ass and unique that they went this route. You know, because Leonard Starr wrote a lot of the episodes. Especially a lot of the early ones.
I think that it's also cool that in this episode, basically the premise is Mum-Ra is gonna go under the guise of another character to sort of infiltrate their lair, which is, you know, it's always been plot points in a lot of these shows that, you know, the evil side is always wanting to take over or have this base or whatever, but he actually, for the most part, kind of succeeds here.
Yeah, and does a great job of, you know, and as we would, and of course here's Jacko and a monkey and 2 ass kickers. And it's a good plan, because in some action-oriented cartoons, they do take a few liberties because they kind of feel like, well, it's just for kids. We can kind of get away with some stuff. But all this works well. Mom-Ra's plot, it's all a very well-thought-out plan.
And it also kind of has a decent life lesson that is sort of brought up in a couple spots of this episode.
Yeah, and I like that, Jaga does come in to remind Lion-O about this stuff because that's another fun thing about this. Lion-O is the leader of the Thundercats, but he's not officially declared the Lord of the Thundercats till later on in the first season, which is another fun story arc done over separate episodes. I love this painting of Castle Plundar. So cool. And I like these moments of the mutants in their own. I used to get so confused as a kid because I always took it as Mom-Ra was their leader, much like a Skeletor was over the Evil Warriors. But the mutants, they work on their own, but they also work under Mom-Ra as well. Like Mom-Ra calls them when he needs them. And they're kind of doing this joint venture together to stop the Thundercats and infiltrate them. And Mom-Ra is just done so, so well. Especially in these, I mean, through the majority of this series, but he's done written so perfectly in these early episodes as well. Much like how Skeletor was. You just love him. He's such a just a great villain. There's nothing funny about Mom-Ra. Like, he loves what he's doing and he relishes his play. Like, it's just slow. He just kind of circles Chitara and she just has no idea, just out cold, no idea what's coming. God, it's just cool.
Did you have a crush on her when you were a kid?
No. And I had a crush on a lot of the characters in the cartoons, but Chitara, I just thought she was a cool character. I did develop a crush on Pumaira, the next female Thundercat. I still think she's hot. that when she comes along in season 2, but But I loved all the characters, all the Thundercats. I thought Wile E. Kit and Kat were great. Snarf. I like Snarf. I don't give a damn what other people say. I thought he was a fun character. I get why people may not like him, but I like this addition to the transformation here. Just cool. Just giving him an eye patch, too.
It's a good look.
It is a good look, you know, with the toga. And this whole plot, like they're really going out of their way to set this plot up. Like this is a lot of thinking, a lot of patience. It just shows that there's a lot of cunning and thought gone into this whole plan here. Like pretending to not know who Slythe or something. Like that's just great touches like that. Really trying to.
Well, I like how basically when he's talking, he's sort of just providing her with the questions that she's going to ask him to, you know, he's sort of facilitating this whole thing.
And building her trust within a few moments like that. Because, you know.
It's like, oh yeah, that's it.
That's just what Leonard Starr's writing was so good. And, you know, the way he wrote these characters, God, it's just, it's so good. All the voice acting just really helps sell the innocence and the malice of these two characters we're dealing over a bonfire like this. And just really, I mean, just all the men, look at that, the glowing red eye just showing it's like, yes, it's the plan is working. And the VHS box for this is beautiful too. Like this beautiful painting of Lionel holding the Sword of Omens, which looks like it's in a version of Monroe's Tomb. And on the back of it is this painting of Pumrah and Sly. Oh, man, you have to Google it, dude. It looks so beautiful. Hell, I'd love to have a figure of Pumrah. I mean, it's not a variant. It's a disguise, but he just looks like such a great-looking character. I would love to see on the shelf with the rest of the Thundercat mythology.
Yeah, you'll have to hit up Joe. Link down below, Joe's custom creations.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe. Get on that. Stop making smirks into He-Man figures. Now, when you watch this, do you have a particular or particulars of favorites amongst the Thundercats? So Lino as a kid was my favorite, and then I grew to love Panthro just as much. So they're my two favorites of this first roster.
Yeah, I would kind of go with that too. And I'm with you on the whole Snarf thing. I don't have a problem with him. I also like in this episode how he's basically the one that's like, hey, I'm not so sure about this. It reminds me of the dogs. You know, dogs are they're very dogs good judge of
sense evil.
Yeah, they're good judge of character.
And I like this communication here. Like he's in his own private quarters, communicating back to the mutants and his laugh. And their little council table here. Just plotting and thinking about it. It's just fun seeing moments like this, you know, because you wonder when villains are putting their plans together. I love Monkey and doing the, ooh, ooh, just listening. It's just great touches like that. I love Monkey and so much. Jackalman was my favorite as a child, but like as I get older, I like Monkey. It's my favorite of the first three mutants before Vulture Man comes along, because I love Vulture Man a lot as a kid. And just, It's a great story in this. Like it's not heavily based on action. It's more about telling this story of trust and introducing them to the series' main villain.
Yeah, I like how he's breaking it down. Like they're really trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, to think they're really putting a lot of thought in this, and Lino showing his youth and how he ever with Jaga. So cool. God, I can't wait to get the figure of him from the classic series. But there were so many great moments, like you touched on this. Like they don't come off as like, now listen, kids, you need to be sure and do this. Like they're good life lessons that anybody would use. And Lino's is an adult, but he's still young in the mind and learning as he goes along. You know, and even the rest of the Thundercats too. They listen to him, but they do realize he's not fully experienced. He doesn't have all the veteran's knowledge of being a true Lord of the Thundercats, and he will get that as the show progresses. And you know, I'd love for us to do the anointment or the trials of anointment that Lionel goes through on this show. That's like five episodes. That's just cool. sensing that they're use that he knows they're using this stone technology. Well, he's not quite there yet, but just going through and
yeah, I like how yeah stuff. he tears up a lot of shit in this episode. Oh, what's this down here? Yep, better rip that out too. But it's cool because later on, as they're going through, it's like, well, let's do this, and we have this here, and it's all broken.
Because it's not supposed to be a full on, I'm going to linger for a long time. This is just long enough to get the sword and to get the mutants in and try and just take over all together. Love how he just senses this old technology they're using to hide the Sword of Omens. And they did such a great job too, because prior to all this, like, you see the construction of the cat's lair, and that it implies that it took a long time to build it, even with the help of the Burbles. And I think the episode Slaves of Castle Blundar, which comes before this. They just take great, Leonard Starr just takes a lot of great time to really emphasize and throw in extra minor details that you could easily miss. But if you catch it, you're really sure that there's more to it. The music. God, the music's so cool. And just him saying, acknowledging, like, the sword is not as big as the last time I saw it. Like, I just fun dialogue.
Well, not only that, but when we get here to the confrontation in a few minutes, when he's like, I know how this goes, and he repeats it. Yeah.
Just all those attention to detail.
Yep.
And as everyone's splitting up and leaving Lion-O to take on
Kuma. I like how it's like, oh no, don't do that yet. Yep.
Yeah.
Whew. Bullet dodged.
Yeah. Because that definitely would have thrown the plan. Now what about Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat? Or did you find them? I mean, they're not used a whole lot in this episode, but you know, kid characters are so easily botched, but they can just, like, it depends on how you write them. And that's why I like Snarf. Snarf's written well. He's a likable character. Same thing with Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with them.
Damn right you don't. And here we are starting to realize that things are just not working that effectively around Cat's lair. I like Snarf's animation here, right? So I'd love to have a little Snarf running around, offering me advice and stuff like that. Just, you know, he's a pet, but he's also like a buddy. You know, just, I always thought Snarf was such a cool character as a kid. If I didn't know they had a plush Snarf, because I didn't know they had made those when I was little, I'd have loved to have had a plush Snarf. I did have the figurine that came with the Lion-O figure, though. Or Justin Twine traded it to me in daycare. This is cool. Look how big they are. Like, even though the mutant roster never fully expanded, like you see in a lot of toy lines, like, they were such memorable characters that they could show up in most of the episodes and you never got tired of them. Like, you know, because you had Vulture Man and Rattara would show up. You had the faction of the Berserkers and the Lunatics. You know, so you had other villains, but I never felt it got boring, you know, even though we're given more villains.
Yeah, like I understand the standpoint of you need to sell more toys, but at the same time too, I look at it as if you oversaturate it, it's sort of like the NWO when they had like 70 members. It's just too much. And not everyone gets their due and their time.
No, and it's a shame too, because they had planned to release the Lunatics in the toy line, then the toy line got canceled. Which sucks. Never more Berserkers coming too. So it's hard to say what else we would have gotten. And I just love this whole confrontation. Boy! I just love how he keeps addressing Lina, like, in such a very diminutive manner.
So here we go. Momra is trying to do the thing, but it's...
The sword does not work for evil. And you would see that in, like, the episodes like The Mountain, you know. it's like they do, the villains do realize, look, we can't really use their sword, but we'd rather get it out of your hands so that way you can't use it. You know, but every time they're always convinced that they'll learn how to harness the power of the sword. But clearly, right there, if that didn't tell you, and that's letting the audience know too, that the sword, you may have the sword, but it won't work for you. You know, so, which still makes their fight for the sword justifiable, that if I can't use it, I'd rather you not be able to use it. Bye. There we go. It's just a fun little confrontation here. What about the mutants? Like, you have a favorite mutant?
Honestly, no, not really.
They're written so well, though. I think they're just, I mean, I love all of them such. I think everybody might have a favorite, but I think as an adult, yeah, now Monkey is definitely my favorite. There's something really vicious about him because he is ape-like. I always thought Jackman was kind of like a wolf almost. I mean, it's
Yeah, the animation here is just top notch.
Yeah, I mean it's a brief sequence here, but God, it's a shame that the cartoon only lasted two seasons. The toy line only lasted for so long, but it for the short run it's had a major lasting impact on fans, you know. But then again, to most cartoons of the 80s, they didn't have, like, He-Man only had two seasons. So did She-Ra. G.I. Joe had two seasons.
Yeah, but there are three seasons. When we're saying seasons, there's still a shitload of episodes contained in the season. I mean, so it's not like it just ran for 10 episodes and they're done.
No. Yeah, because some episodes were only given, you know, or some shows like 13 episodes, 10 episodes. You know, they had a healthy run of episodes for syndications. That way you could run, you know, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, and He-Man well into the 90s in syndication over and over and over again.
Which I also like that too. He's like, I have the sword, but he's like, yeah, but I know the layout better.
Yeah, it's a great way of like saying, like, Lionel, still, you're young. You know, you can't do this just with the sword. It takes ingenuity and intelligence at times. And I love that. It's a great way of getting all the characters in use because they're all being used very well to get back in the cat's lair. But also, you know, showing too that, you know, Linus still has a lot to learn. And I love that about the continuity of this show. It's another, and I know there definitely have got to be fans that they appreciate that. But for those douchebags and morons who want to shit all over it, you know, you clearly have your head up your own ass. And you're not actually watching it. I love Panther. He's going to climb up with his bare hands. That's a badass ninja for you, dude. A guy who wears spikes, you know, as an outfit. Like, yeah, he clearly could climb up a wall with his bare hand. Use nunchucks with one hand to fight out this giant dragonfly that's going to come out. Like a bat out of hell. All this is cool. Just watching all this, everything just being shot to hell, trying to get in. I'm so glad we're doing a commentary for this. That's a cool shot. All this. There's so many great shots. Like, I mean, just look at like the angle of the cat's lair mouth, and Panther is only one face in this. You see Puma right up there, and just bring it on. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Mothra, man. And then Godzilla.
Yeah, it is pops a big, it is there. A big Mothra. Yeah. It is Mothra. And there's a lot of random creatures that do show up in the show. Some of them make sense and some of them kick ass like this Mothra here.
Well, I think the cool thing about this show is just the concept in general sort of gives you free rein to do such things like that, you know? And it doesn't seem out of place.
Yeah, and that's what fantasy shows I think work best, just like with He-Man and She-Ra. I love this. This segment here, this confrontation, this is what sells the whole episode. This is like what we're building. It's the shining moment of this episode. Is this bit of dialogue, "Wouldn't you like to know?" Just explaining who he is and why I'm pissed off at you guys. God, it's brilliant. And just they're all in awe. They don't know who or what this guy is. But I have time. Oh, man, it gives me goosebumps. Like, what a great heel. Like, he clearly has been defeated, but says, you can't defeat me. That's a great heel. In this animation.
Right. I mean, there, his animation in general, when he has his transformations, is always just fantastic.
God, it's so epic and beautiful. I mean, it's no wonder, and a great reminder as to, like, us adults now that grew up in these cartoons. You look at what kids have today, there's no guts, there's no glory to any of it. It's just cheap fodder. Like, not the 80s didn't have its fair share of that as well, but God, for young boys and girls to not see that cartoon characters can be strong and ass kickers and look great and, you know, be muscular and not be looked upon as just a big oaf. You know, it's not fair that these kids today are subjected to this horse shit on Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and whatever other garbage they throw out there. And to not have heroes like this to look up to and want to go outside and pretend to be, you know. Oh, this is so great. We got to do more Thundercats, dude.
Well, I mean, let's just keep the train rolling and just do another episode of Thundercats next week.
Yeah! Oh, man. God bless you, dude. And I used to get so sad as a kid when I'd watch this on TV. And I'm like, oh, man. Because the music, as great as it was sad to know the show was over. I was like that with He-Man and G.I. Joe, Bionic Six, I mean, Silverhawks. I hated the ending theme song because I knew my fun was over. Oh, I hated it so much. Even Lassie. When Lassie went, I had to cry because the music was so sad. Not like, but like, oh, God, sad. Poor Lassie, all that whistling.
I never really watched Lassie that much.
It was on when I was at daycare. They'd have one of those big wooden box TVs in the room when all the kids are dropped off. They'd go sit in this room and either put toys or watch TV, and they'd have Mr. Wizard and Lassie on Nickelodeon like at 6 in the morning. Ugh. And play that. And well, you like Mr. Wizard?
It was fine. I just, even as a kid, I hated being up that early.
Oh, no, that wasn't like by choice. It was like I had to get up to be dropped off at daycare. And then when we go stay at my babysitter, we still have to get up early to go to her house because my mom had to be at work at like 6 or 7 in the morning or something like that. So we'd all have to get up early. So there were perks to it because that way you could catch Thundercats early in the morning, Silverhawks, Little Rascals on at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. Three Stooges. There were perks to it, you know, because Bionic Six would come on early, you know, where we lived and stuff like that too. So it had its merits, you know, but, you know, I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, I mean, some of those shows were just sort of, looking back on them now, I'm like, man, I can't believe I would sit and just watch it, like Dennis the Menace.
Oh, the black and white Dennis the Menace? Yeah. Oh, I love that show as a kid. I haven't watched it since I was
little. I mean, I did too, but I don't know. Just thinking about it now, honestly, kind of makes me nauseous.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's just I associate it with those times of like either being up too early or just being sick, you know? And I'm just,
well, I remember Dennis the Menace being played in the afternoon after school because I remember coming home watching it on Nickelodeon like at 4 in the afternoon or something like that. Like something I would watch, you know, when after Mom's picked us up and you come home and Dennis the Menace would be on. So I remember watching the cartoon Dennis the Menace in the mornings, you know, but I mean, even when you were sick, you know, at least I got to stay and watch Price is Right and finish the cartoon lineup that was on that I'd have to go to school. You know, He-Man would come on at 8:00. I'd catch the opening sequence and what episode it would be. And then I'd have to go to school. My brother stays home and he goes, yeah, I got to stay home. I changed the channel, though. Like, he made a point of telling me he would change the channel. Like,
well, but would he tell you what he would watch instead?
It wouldn't matter. Just, he would just watch anything but He-Man, you know. And then he bragged to me, oh, yeah, there's this Fantastic Four cartoon that comes on at 11 o'clock while you're at school. I'm like, what? And it was the very first Hanna-Barbera Fantastic Four cartoon where they had the Human Torch in it and everything. I was so envious of Derek getting to stay home and watch this, but then he's at home watching Eureka's Castle and stuff like that, too. I'm like, ugh.
Well, speaking of Fantastic Four, I've been seeing on Reddit, because I follow the action figure subreddit on there, and people love their Marvel Legends, so it's constantly posted. But Walgreens had an exclusive. They've been doing the Fantastic Four, and it's a beautiful figure. And I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't find one in like my immediate area, so I hit up my parents. I'm like, hey, can you check the one there in town where you guys are, because they're always going to it. And they found it, and they had the points, so they got it for $5. I got him sitting right here. He's just
he's beautiful.
Like he just looks amazing.
God, he beats the hell out of the first one they put. Yeah, I mean, I've got that one, but God, that one destroys it.
Yeah. So if you guys have any interest in that figure, check your Walgreens, because he is exclusive to Walgreens.
I want to check Walgreens too, because I, after seeing the Transformers movie the other night, it's kind of like, you know, I actually went down the toy aisle at Walmart when I was doing grocery shopping, and they've been out for a while, but I just never paid attention to it just because I don't go down the toy aisle anymore. But the Transformers Generations.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, yeah. And I saw Jazz there. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, and then I saw Grimlock, and they had a Starscream that was like $25, but pieces were falling out in the box and stuff like that. So made me look up, you know, who else is available, and I saw that Walgreens has a Shockwave. It's only exclusive to Walgreens. Like, I have to go grocery shopping at Walmart because they're at a Turkey Burger today in Christiansburg. So I may run to Walgreens today when I'm in grocery shopping and see if they got a Shockwave in there or something like that. Probably not, but
and they might have a thing. And go ahead and pick him up.
Might have a thing too. So, but yeah, it gives me reason to go actually toy hunting for a change to see if I can find, you know, any of those generation characters that, you know, I don't. Not something I'm going to collect all the way through, but it'd be cool to have a couple of the actual characters, and they look great. You know, that's I'd love to be able to afford some of that Japanese release stuff and some of the like that Soundwave you've got. But you know, hell, even the Soundwave from Generations costs an arm and a leg. But it'd be cool to have, you know, one or two, you know, representatives from Transformers on display somewhere. But and after seeing that the movie in theaters, I had like a reawakening of the movie. Like it was like seeing it with new eyes, seeing on the screen. It was quite a blast, dude.
Did it change your opinions on stuff? Does it sort of fall apart once Optimus dies?
No, I mean,
you seem pretty adamant about that.
Well, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, when characters like, you know, in Jazz is taken out, him and Bumblebee, they're in it periodically and they live. But they're not used that much. You know, when characters like Wheeljack and Ironhide, they all die. Optimus dies, of course. You know, I found it more enjoyable to watch the rest of the movie after that. But I'm still yearning for, you know, I want to see Wheeljack. I want to see more Jazz. I want to see Optimus. I want to see Bumblebee. You know, I want to see Prowl. You know, more of the characters that, you know, that I like, but it's not like I was like, oh God, it's Hot Rod and Cup. Like I enjoyed it a lot more watching it on the screen. And I was like, you know what? I could probably go back and revisit, you know, season 3, you know, when we have Rodimus Prime as the leader before Optimus is brought back and comes back to take over the Autobots and stuff like that. But, you know, it still doesn't hold a candle to watching Megatron as the leader. It's just, everyone knows that, but it at least made me feel like, you know what? I could probably have a better appreciation for those characters and not, I, you know, like I said, I appreciate it, enjoyed it more, but it still, you know, it doesn't clear away. Like, God, I want my generation. I want my first wave of Generation 1 characters, you know, but I enjoyed it immensely. It was great.
Were there a lot of people there?
It was pretty filled up. I think the very, very front row was empty. Because, you know, God, the seats are so close to the screen and these reclining seat theaters. But you can clearly tell they were all fans. They were all Transformers fans. And everybody stayed quiet except this guy who's a kid, I guess, just could not get into the movie. He just was trying to talk to his dad. And his dad was trying to get him to be quiet. And to the point where the kid's, like, crawling up on his dad's chest. Like, just, I guess, just trying to fall asleep or something like that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, kid. You'll never get to see this again. Shut up. But it wasn't so much. It wasn't like where Cobra Kai or Meg, where I had to tell people to shut up. You know, it was. I just took it as like, you know what, the father's definitely a Transformers fan. I can just tell. You know, the kid just, I guess, can't quite get. He probably needs a phone to keep his attention or some shit like that.
I mean, probably we're at that point now where
You know, I hate that. But there was kids there, I guess, with their parents, and there was some young boy wearing an Optimus Prime, classic Optimus Prime looking jacket, not some flaming, you know, Michael Bay bullshit. You know, there even walked by me, like the kid had to get up to go to the bathroom, I guess, and he had to walk in front of me, and he was lowering himself down so he wouldn't be in my way. I'm like, now look at that. This kid has got manners to actually kneel down to think he's going to interfere with my vision. Like, I just appreciated that.
Yeah. How about that?
You know? Yeah, it was great. And everybody, the people who, you know, laughed at the jokes, they just laughed briefly and they kept going. They didn't go, hearty, har, 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 har. You know, it was just, everyone was there to enjoy it. And it was a sight to behold. It really was. I wish you could have been there, dude.
A decent movie theater experience. Now, see, if I would have been there, something would have went wrong.
Well, you know, we got another one coming up here soon.
Yeah,
in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the crowd that's going to come out for that one.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind too, we gotta get our tickets in advance for that. You know, we gotta make sure. And plus, we gotta make sure you're not working.
Yeah, that too. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I won't know until like.
Do I have to walk into Volvo myself and grab a hold of your boss and tell him, you know who I am?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes because we're looking at about 3 weeks away now?
About that yet. I think Venom starts next week. I'll be damned. Can you believe it?
I'm good.
Bombs so bad. I hope it's despised more than Spider-Man 3.
You know, I don't think it'll reach that level. Who knows, though?
But if it doesn't, they'll do a sequel and make Venom even more worse, you know, and then they'll probably destroy Carnage in the sequel. You know, I want it stopped now.
You can't. It's the juggernaut. Oh, I saw the Dark Phoenix trailer. That looked kind of. Can we just stop making X-Men movies now, please?
Yeah.
Do we really need to keep going with this? Like, yes, First Class was awesome. Yeah. I haven't watched
Days of Future Past. I thought that was pretty damn good.
I haven't seen that, and I haven't watched Apocalypse. I felt like
Apocalypse was lackluster. It was forgettable.
I felt like after First Class, when we're bringing Bryan Singer back, I was like, nah, no, because you know I appreciate what X-Men and X2 did as far as. Bringing superhero movies to the forefront after Blade and everything, and
yeah,
but no, just after Superman Returns and everything, I can't. I don't like what he does with characters, and
I don't either.
Just not good.
Yeah, and it's a shame too that Matthew Vaughn didn't come back for, you know. That didn't stay with it continuously after First Class. I know it was like a joint venture with them on First Class because I think Bryan Singer came back and directed the opening sequence again. But Days of Future Past, I did enjoy it. I thought it was quite good. Apocalypse was left a lot to be desired. You know, I don't like just because Jennifer Lawrence is playing Mystique. We got to make her a good guy and make her, you know, not a gray area character. You know, I feel like just because it's Jessica Lawrence or Jennifer Lawrence, excuse me. But yeah, she does a good job as Mystique. I'd rather see her as a bad guy. I don't want to see her as a good guy and being a prominent member of the X-Men. It just like, that's not the character.
Yeah.
Granted, there's changes over the years in comics. I understand that. But from what is like the movies, like, you know, you've only got so much time to showcase a character. And I want to see Mystique being a bitch. You know, a conniving, backstabbing bitch. That's the Mystique that I know, and that's the one that I want to see, who's sometimes conflicted about what she's after, but ultimately she's a bad guy. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see her, you know, leading the X-Men into battle because it's Jennifer Lawrence and the Hunger Games and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, just quit. Quit with the X-Men films.
We keep saying it, and you've said it yourself, and I'm admitting it now. I'm burnt out on the superhero movies because I feel like they're not delivering anything that makes me want to go to the theater and fork over my cash and sit for 2 hours and watch this story you're trying to tell me. Like, I feel like, give me something I haven't seen before. It's like everybody's still trying to do the same thing over and over again. You know, everyone's not trying to – everyone's playing it safe and making it funny instead of giving us a you know, taking chances comic book movie, you know, doing what Burton did with, you know, Batman in 89. Make it dark, gritty. It's not supposed to be funny and silly. It's supposed to be serious and you know, emotional, not, you know, anything less. And I hate that they veered off so far from that.
Well,
you know.
You got to appeal to the masses, man. That's where the money's at.
So, I don't know. I mean, the trailer didn't look too bad. It's been talked about and bashed, saying it was unwatchable and this and that. I don't know, but I've never been a big fan of the whole Phoenix saga anyway. I like it more as an adult, but still, I don't really want to see a movie just dedicated to that. I mean, I feel like there's so many other great X-Men stories I'd rather see a story of. The Phoenix is not one of them. But I do like, you know, Fassbender's Magneto and McAvoy is Professor Rex. Like,
oh yeah, no, I love the casting decisions. Yes,
I love those guys as Charles and Magneto. I wanted to see more of that. That's one of the reasons Days of Future Past is so good. You know, and Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine and given a lot of stuff to do. And
yeah, I mean, I need to check it out. Yeah,
I'll
check it out. I've just put it off for so long, but yeah,
I mean, characters like Bishop and Warpath are pretty much thrown away. They're barely used or acknowledged.
Well, Bishop kind of sucks anyway. So
I don't know. I didn't mind Bishop at all as a kid. I thought he was cool and everything, but it just kind of felt like if you're going to show Bishop, you're just like, well, aren't you going to do something with him? But all the stuff like when Wolverine, because they do take a few liberties with the Days of Future Past storyline, but I still think it's great. I think the movie was good. I think you'll like it. You sit down and watch it. It was pretty damn good.
Wasn't that also a way to sort of just retcon what happened in Last Stand? To just pretend that it didn't exist? That's what I read.
It may have done that. I haven't watched Last Stand. I remember everything about Last Stand, which I'm like, why do I remember everything in that?
Yeah.
But I those first three X-Men movies, they don't hold up as well. Like, the first two have a little bit of nostalgia for me, but I don't find it easy or desirable to go back and sit down and rewatch them.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch First Class, honestly, than that first X-Men film, you know, which is a shame to say. But I have a lot of fun with First Class. I like the music by Henry Jackman and McAvoy and Fassbender just steal every scene they're in.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd say that they beat McKellen and Stewart those roles.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah,
they totally. Just do such a great job. Not to say McKellen and Stewart, they kick ass, but you kind of like, how do you beat those guys? And man, Fassbender and McAvoy come along and make it their own. They really do.
I like how we just veered off into some other.
Hey, but it's still superhero related though. Like we're still keeping it with capes.
It is. It is.
But I'm glad you want to do Thundercats again next weekend, dude. And maybe we could either do Spitting Image, Ghost Warrior, or God, there's so many great ones to do. But I also got to remember, I got to go with what you've got. Like The Mountain's another good episode. I'll get it narrowed down for next week and in advance. So that way you got plenty of time to watch it and stuff. But it'll probably be one of those that I mentioned there. Almost maybe because of Ghost War. Like, do you want to try and do a Halloween theme with our episode? Or just not even worry about that with October starting? Because it's you know, I mean, Batman, you got Scarecrow, you know, with, I was trying to think, you know.
Nah.
What else could you do?
Well, I mean, let's not worry, because we're already concerning ourselves with what we're going to do for Beyond Retro for the month of October. So
okay, yeah, yeah. Hell with it then. Because yeah. I told Nathan, I said, he agreed to like try and do Toxic Crusaders.
Yeah,
as something we could touch on. We could do Bucky O'Hara, which he was surprised to know that I like.
Yeah, that blew me away a little bit.
In a good way or a bad way? Like, you like you like?
I honestly do not remember that much of Bucky O'Hara. At all.
The cartoon didn't play here, so it was just, you know, I knew the toys, I played the video game.
I remember the video game, and that's about it. We can do that.
Swamp Thing. There's the Swamp Thing cartoon also that I thought was great as a kid. You know, even though one of the voice acting just is obnoxious, but they're trying to play off the Return of Swamp Thing movie. But that's another possibility we could always do, because that's on YouTube. You know, we still haven't done Brave Star. Brave Star is another one we could always do. I mean,
Gussie, that's sitting in my Amazon wish list.
All the Brave Star series?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have to decide that in advance. That way you can get it and have it in hand. And
so many shows.
See, like how many shows we could do before we actually veer back and do Spider-Man and Batman and X-Men again?
Yeah,
like,
no, I mean that's the beauty of it. Just
yeah,
different anything, which will lead to plenty of other discussions.
That oh, I know. This is the magic of this podcast. I'm so glad we agreed to do this. Like it's just endless possibilities. More Transformers, more G.I. Joe. You know, God, there's just so much stuff to do. Because now that you've got all of G.I. Joe, I mean, I still want to do like a Rise or Pentor, at least one of those episodes. And City of Steel with Transformers, you know, so we can see Devastator in action and stuff like that, too. That's another fun episode of Transformers. I mean,
Hard nipples.
Yeah, there's just not enough Saturdays in our lifetime to do all this, you know. Just, God.
We might have to start just doubling up.
We may have to do that on occasion, do a double up of just, you know, let's do two in one Saturday and then come back and do one the next Saturday. And,
yeah. You
know, they don't take too long to do. But if we try and do two, they won't be as long because we know we got to get two in and we won't bullshit and
rant. This one was probably one of the longer ones we've done, I think.
I think the longest one we've done was when Danielle was on here to do Joker's favorite. God, we talked for like an hour and a half.
Well, we're fastly approaching that mark now, I think. Or maybe I don't even remember what time we started here, but yeah.
It'll be even longer when the Batman movie, when we do that in October.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because we got that coming up.
And we still need to get the Action Traxxon off the ground. Our commentary.
How are we going to do that? You know, this point, I almost feel like we just need to make a point then. That Saturday afternoon we do one episode of Capes and Commentaries, and then immediately after, like we cut the ranting and stuff, and then jump right into Roadhouse or Predator 2 or Temple of Doom or oh god, I mean there's just so many action films we could do. Bloodsport,
yeah,
you know, but yeah, we need to come down and try and get that done. Because we were supposed to have done that back in August when you took all that time off. And didn't happen. But yeah. Give it time.
Yeah, well, before we wrap this up, Tyler, any final thoughts on Thundercats real quick? That we haven't already said. Is there... shit, I don't even know really where you go with that. I feel like we've said enough.
I just can't praise the show enough. Love the toys so much. I love the cartoon so much. I love the mythology behind it, which is why the reboot stunk, because they clearly ignored the mythology. And, you know, you could tell different stories, but keep the mythology. And I hate that they changed everything. I can't say enough positive about it. It really is in the top three animated shows of all time for me. And me personally, in my own record book, it's number two. He-Man's number one. And then number three is either going to be G.I. Joe or Turtles. And then, you know, I don't know what to put in that place, because they really would be fighting over that third spot, because I love G.I. Joe and Turtles so damn much. But I can't say enough about it. I love seeing positive fan support for Thundercats. It's good to see that merchandise, even though I had this one made, merchandise is still pretty readily available for Thundercats. You know, we need more cool Thundercat merchandise that doesn't have goofy ass sayings and just pictures of the box art put on t-shirts, or pictures of, you know, the promotional artwork and stuff.
I wish they would do that more. That's something that they need to do across all these shows. Bring back the card art and put that on a shirt.
Because they did that. I remember the other Wes Holcomb was wearing a ring shirt that had the Thunder Tank box art on it. I remember being so jealous of him when he had that. I'm like, that should be mine, dude. I'm the one who wears Thundercats around here. And I was so envious of him having that Thundercats Thunder Tank t-shirt, dude.
And everyone because all the box cool. art for the
everyone thought it was cool. But all that box art needs to be on a t-shirt, from the Sky Cutter, the Nose Diver, Thunder Tank, the Tungasaurus, all that stuff just needs to be on t-shirts, dude. You know, it's not fair. Someone needs to get on that and stop making up their own shit.
Well, I'm sure if you look hard enough on Redbubble and Etsy and places like that, I'm sure it exists.
Yeah, there's some decent stuff you can put together. I got this on Redbubble, you know, where they don't have they do have some goofy stuff on Redbubble, but there's a lot of good stuff on there too. So
shout out to Redbubble. sponsor.
Yeah, of Capes we're giving you free publicity. I bought enough tank tops from you. You ought to be giving me and Nathan a discount.
I haven't really bought anything from Redbubble.
So. Well, you're on here, so you get the discount too, or something like that. Give us a small. If you're not going to, you know, pay us for advertising, at least give us a constant discount, like a code we can always use to get a tank top or something like that. You know,
right?
We'll advertise the hell out of Redbubble. But anyway,
yeah,
that is our first Thundercats episode, and we'll be back next week with either the Ghost Warrior, Spitting Image, the Mountain. Maybe one of the trials, you know. I'm not sure which one we'll do, but I mean, there's so many good ones. The Snowman of Hook Mountain, that's another kick-ass one, you know. Oh, God. See, that's the thing.
You're like Bubba and Forrest Gump, man. You're just like riffing off all of these.
Yeah, like the way you can saute shrimp salad, shrimp stew. Like, I'm just constantly, I wouldn't know which one to pick. And that's what made it so hard to pick this episode, because I thought, like, it's one and done, man. It'll be a long time before we come back to Thundercats, because no. Then we got to get this one, get that one. Like, no. All right. I'm just glad to know we'll have more Thundercats next Saturday. So join us next Saturday.
Yeah, we're never doing it again.
Ever.
Yeah. But thanks to Andre for joining us live in the chat. And that's sort of one of the perks of this. So if you are new to the channel, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell so you get notified when we do go live, so you can join us live. Check out the links below. We have the audio archive that you can go back, download all the MP3s of all the shows that we've done. But we also have BeyondRetroPodcast.com, which will take you to sort of the central hub of Beyond Retro on Pop Culture Network. And that's also got all the links provided there. So we have multiple ways for you to access our content. Like our Facebook page. Go ahead and give this video a like and comment down below. What are your thoughts on Thundercats? You know, what are your memories? Anything specific on this episode? Suggestions for other episodes of Thundercats that Tyler didn't mention here that maybe we should do instead of waiting until later. I don't know.
Yeah. If you let us know, we'd be more inclined to do it and honor what fans want us to do, as opposed to, you know, not always we do decide ultimately, but it would be fun to have fans say, hey, do this episode of G.I. Joe, or do this episode of Cops, or do this episode of Transformers or Thundercats, you know?
I like how every time we bring this up, Tyler always just goes in that rant of just, let us know! Ah, please!
Yeah, because we don't get that much feedback. When we do, it's exciting, but we don't get that much feedback for this podcast. But I guess if we're not pissing people off, they just enjoy it and can move on. You know, but it is nice to get that, you know, that pat on the shoulder. Hey, that we're doing something that you enjoy. You know, it means a lot to hear that. And we did get some positive feedback from, I forget the gentleman's name, but he was pretty emphatic about how much he enjoys Capes and Commentaries.
Well, that's good.
Which I was glad to hear that.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing that I leave out, that I always tend to leave out, if you want to find us on iTunes, make sure you look up popculturenetwork.com.
And you'll find all three podcasts listed under that search. So,
yep.
So please join us next week for more Thundercats action.
Yeah. See you guys next time.